On this episode of Skeptico, Alex talks with Ian McCormick about his distinctly Christian interpretation of the near-death experience phenomena.
I asked all sorts of questions and received every answer. I asked what religion is the correct one. They told me I didn't have to choose. Here's a better one I want to read. I want to read you two more of these.
Okay? And you can have reference to that. The scriptures say, even if a being of light would come to you and speak anything but Christ crucified, Lucifer himself can come as a being of light.
Do you really want to go there? Do you really want to say someone else who died like you did clinically had this spiritually transformative experience that changes their life just like yours did? Do you really want to bring Lucifer and Satan into it and say, oh, but those people are being deceived and I'm not?
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and on this episode of Skeptico, I'm going to kind of go out of sequence here. You know, I do these interviews, and then I put them in the queue and publish them, but this week, I'm going to do an interview that I just recorded last week, and the reason I'm going to push it in here is because it fits perfectly with last episode's interview with Pastor Howard Storm on his Christian near-death experience. Now, I have to say this is a topic that I'm very interested in because I think it touches on an area of the near-death experience that few are willing to fully explore and fully try and comprehend the meaning of. And that is, what about people who have near-death experiences that are very distinctly religious in some way? What are we to make of those, given the fact that the near-death experience literature consistently, over and over again, tells us that those kind of religious interpretations just don't come through in the data as a whole? I think it's an interesting question, and it's one I certainly enjoyed probing with today's guest, Ian McCormick. Today we welcome Ian McCormick to Skeptico. Ian was diving off of the Mauritius Islands in the Indian Ocean when he was stung by box jellyfish and was pronounced clinically dead, only to return with an amazing account of his near-death experience and his encounter with God and Jesus. Ian has written a book about his experience titled A Glimpse of Eternity. He also has a very interesting movie out based on his experience. You can find all that at aglimpseofeternity.org or on YouTube, where I found some really well done, interesting videos with Ian in them. So, Ian, welcome to Skeptico. Thanks so much for joining me.
No, it's a joy, mate.
Well, I appreciate you coming on because, frankly, I really thought I'd scare you off with some of those questions that I asked in my email. So, I'm glad you're here. You had this very amazing near-death experience. I guess that's probably where we should start. Tell people maybe the shortened, abbreviated version of it.
I like that. Well, I was traveling around the world. I'm born in New Zealand and raised there in 1980 to 82. I decided to do an endless summer surfing safari around the world. So I traveled around the world and from Australia to Indonesia, Africa, ended up on a beautiful island called Mauritius, where I was night diving for lobster in 1982 and got stung by five box jellyfish. The toxin of them is enough to, they say, 100 times more deadly than a cobra, and if I'd been hit in the throat, it could be dead in 3 or 4 minutes. Fortunately, I was hit on the arm, on the extremity, and the fisherman told me to urinate my arm and that I need to get to a hospital immediately. And by the time they got me into an ambulance, well, I was already paralyzed, gone through the death rattles. And as they raced me towards the hospital, my life flashed before me. And I was a complete atheist. I thought, my God, this happens before you die. And I was wondering what would happen, you know, is there life after death or is there just nothing? And as I'm lying there, I saw a clear vision of my mum appear in front of me. And she was praying for me. It seemed as though that God had spoken to her. She's the only Christian in the family, and said, "Your eldest son Ian's nearly dead." And my mum began praying, and I saw her in the ambulance. I was absolutely shaken. And she said, "Ian, no matter how far from God you are, son, no matter what you've done wrong in your life, if you call out to God from your heart, he will hear you and he'll forgive you. And I was thinking, well, is there a God? And if there is one, which one? I'd traveled through the East and seen so many different people's beliefs and religions. And I wasn't convinced on any of them. And I thought, well, God, if you're real, show me your face and I'll pray. And no face appeared except my mum. And I thought, well, my mother is a Christian. She prays to Jesus. Could my mother be right? And if she is right, what on earth would you pray this Christian just before you die? My mum kept saying, Ian, pray from your heart. And the only prayer I remember my mum teaching me was the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father's Prayer. So I lay there, I couldn't remember it, so my mum said, from your heart. And I said, God, if you're out there, I feel like a hypocrite, but please help me to pray. And words appeared in front of me, forgive us our sins. And I said, God, how on earth can you forgive me all my sins? But as I lay there, I said, I can't list them all, but if you can hear me, please forgive me. And the words as a prayer, fresh words come up from the Lord's Prayer, forgive those who trespass and sin against you. And I thought, well, I can do that. I'm not a revengeful man by nature. I'm not vindictive. And as I said that, two men's faces appeared directly in front of me. And these men I certainly couldn't forgive. And I heard God speak to me, said, Ian, will you forgive them for what they've done to you? And I thought, you must be joking. I don't know if you've got anyone on your hit list, but I'll tell you what, it was pretty serious. And I lay there and I said, well, God, I will forgive them if you can forgive me. It would be an absolute miracle if you could forgive me. So if you would do that, I would never touch them. I'll never harm them. Mm-hmm. I forgive them. Incredibly, their faces disappeared. And as their faces disappeared, I saw more words come up from the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I said, well, that must truly mean the Lordship of Christ. And I thought, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. I've been completely denying the existence of a God. And I said, well, God, I admit I'm wrong. I surrender my life to you. And as I did, the entire Lord's Prayer came before me. Extraordinary peace entered my heart. And I became a Christian right there in the ambulance just before I died.
Wow. So it's an amazing experience there, and it gets even more amazing. You get to the hospital eventually. It's an incredibly, unbelievably complicated story of how you get to the hospital, but then you're eventually pronounced dead. You're clinically dead. They're going to wheel you out, and you're in that state for 15 minutes, and then as part of your near-death experience, what many people report in your report, you are told to go back and re-enter, or you're allowed, or however you want to put it, but you re-enter your body and then you're healed as well. So not only are you returned and come back alive, but you're healed almost instantly, which is quite incredible as well, right?
Yeah, well, the entire journey was radical. I mean, and that's the bizarre thing is that doctors throw this into the too hard to understand basket and they call it near death, but that's very bad science when it's actually the person's brain dead and clinically dead and in a morgue. So near death assumes the person's still alive. If the person has died, then if you experience something outside of that, it's called life after death.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It's interesting that you bring up science. It's also interesting that you bring up the Christian transformation that you went through, because that's really where I wanted to hone in on. I guess it's my personal question, because when I first started investigating the near-death experience, I didn't have an experience to go off of. I purely approached it from an intellectual standpoint, from a standpoint, could this be true? Could this be really real? And that led me to looking at it scientifically, if you will. And I feel very grateful that there have been many scientists, researchers who've approached it from a very clinical, scientific way. But what they come back and tell us is challenging in a couple of ways. I mean, one, to me, the first question I wanted to answer, Ian, was, is this real? And I think most people out there who are listening to either your account or any of the many, many near-death experience accounts that have become so public now, that's the first question, right? Is this real? Is this guy faking it? And fortunately for you, I think enough people have gone before you and enough science has gone before you that we don't have to dwell on that question for too long. The amount of peer-reviewed, solid research that's come out that just mounts up and tells us that unquestionably something is going on here that completely defies our medical, scientific understanding of who we thought we were.
Oh, dude, right, Alex. I mean, I do meetings, and I have done for 30-odd years, and in each meeting there's at least two or three people who've had identical experiences to me. So I might have met over 20,000 people that have actually had this in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And talked to them one-on-one.
And I've talked to so many of them as well. I've talked to them on this show, both experiencers and researchers. And some of that, that's not always an overlap, but most of the researchers into near-death experience, and I really appreciate this, but most of them started out with no experience in the subject. They just appreciated that it's a genuine mystery when, like in your case, somebody gets up off the table after being dead for 15 minutes and says, hey, I saw you over my chest trying to resuscitate me. And the guy goes, how can that be? You know, you're not supposed to be able to know what's going on. But, you know, the second part of that, the Christian transformation thing, is harder for me to take. Because, again, I return to the scientific literature. And it when you ask these NDE researchers about the meaning part, and they say, what does this mean? Well, they've done a lot of work on that as well. And so many of these people have now come back, shared their accounts of what happened. And when you go talk to those people, you get a variety of different accounts. You get some similarities, but you don't get this singularly Christian kind of experience that you came back with. I'm sure you're familiar with that fact. I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I know that 90% of the people that I meet have had very similar experiences, either darkness or light or a mixture of the two. And so it's not that they haven't experienced it. It's perhaps their interpretation of it or their revelation of it. And I've met people from all different backgrounds who have no belief in God, to Hindus, to Buddhists, to Taoists, who've had this experience. And they're going, how do you package that? And when you look in the Bible, I mean, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and I am surrounded by a light that's so bright that it covers the heavens and earth and the universe. And that light has incredible love. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit and peace and joy. And many of these people have experienced the light, but very few have actually stepped into it. And I said, God, why is that? Why are you revealing yourself to even people who have no belief in God or no reference to that? He said, yeah, because I love people. I love every single person to come to know me. And I said, how can I step and see you face to face? He said, yeah, and the Jewish people talked about the Holy of Holies, that you could only come in through the blood and through sacrifice. And he said, I'll pay that sacrifice. And when you prayed in the ambulance, the Lord's Prayer, you actually gave your life to me. It says that through the blood we can enter into the Holy of Holies. And he said, when you stepped in and saw me glorified in that radiant form, what did you experience? I said, I felt incredible purity and holiness emanate from you. He said, when you looked into my face, what did you see? I said, I saw as though the light of the universe came out of your face. It was like looking into eternity within eternity. And he said, what color is my hair? And I said, it was white. And he said, well, in the book of Revelations, John the Apostle saw that over 2,000 years ago. His head and his hair were white, like wool, like snow. His face shining like the sun in full strength. And I said, and you stepped aside and you showed me what appeared to be a totally new earth. He said, yeah, that's right, Ian. I've created a new heaven, a new earth, the river of life and flowers and trees. And I said, that's extraordinary, because the reference to all that I'd seen, and I'd never read a Bible before, absolutely showed identically what I had experienced and what a number of people have experienced too throughout history.
Right. And I can't do anything other than to hear your testimony, hear your experience. For yeah. Real, I'm not here to judge or anything like that. I'm here to really try and understand what that means for me. I mean, I can understand how you had a Christian experience, how that was meant to be your spiritual transformation, your path. But
I could have related to that, Alex, and justify that intellectually too, and try to box myself in, well, if I've been born in Nepal, I'd seen Krishna, or if I'd been born in Egypt, I'd saw Muhammad. I mean, I could have related to all of those intellectual thoughts too, but what struck me, because I was an atheist and a very free thinker and also an intellectual, and I, when Jesus spoke to me, he said, Ian, God is light, and in him there's no darkness. That didn't come out of the Quran or the Vedic. That came straight from the Bible. And when he stood aside and said, there's a new heaven and new earth, and you've been saved by my precious blood, and I'm the light of the world, it came straight out of the scriptures. I had no reference to that.
No, and again, but Ian, you're kind of defending something that I'm not attacking you on. I'm not attacking that any of that happened or you didn't interpret it that way. I'll tell you a guy I really respect and I like came on this show. It's a guy named Dr. Jeff Long. And a few years ago, he published a book about his collected over 1,000 near-death experience accounts. And he's a physician, so he really knows what he's talking about. But he created this amazing website called NDERF.org. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but you can go on there and there's hundreds and hundreds of published near-death experience accounts. Traumatic, extraordinary. I have to say, as extraordinary as yours, many of them, some of them more. Here's something I like to do whenever I have questions. I find going to that website and reading these accounts extremely uplifting spiritually for me. But I also find it an interesting tool. You know, you can go there. I did it right before our interview, Ian. I went in there and searched for some biblical connections to the near-death experience. I'll read you a couple. Tanya, she has a near-death experience. She encounters a spirit being. She asks all these questions. Here's what she writes. She asked about the Bible, Jesus. She even asked about gay and lesbian as well. I asked all sorts of questions and received every answer. I asked what religion is the correct one. They told me I didn't have to choose. Here's a better one I want to read you two more of these. Okay?
And you can have reference to that. The scriptures say, even if a being of light would come to you and speak anything but Christ crucified, Lucifer himself can come as a being of light.
Do you really want to go there? Do you really want to say someone else who died like you did clinically had this spiritually transformative experience that changes their life just like yours did? Do you really want to bring Lucifer and Satan into it and say, oh, but those people are being deceived and I'm not? I mean, is that...
No, I didn't say that. You just put those into my mouth. I just said that there are experiences where we have spiritual beings speaking to you, that it's not Lucifer. The chance of them speaking to Lucifer is about zero. But there are deceiving spirits or lying spirits. So people that have psychotic experiences too. But most of the people I meet over 20,000 of them, because I do this every day. I don't just research it. I actually meet people face to face. And huge numbers of them have had genuine experiences with the love of God. They just haven't been able to reference who that being of light is. And you find that the scripture of the Bible is so clear and so accurate in the understanding of God as love and forgiving and compassionate.
That's what I would say the majority of people who have a near-death experience, that's one thing that consistently they say.
That's right.
They say it's not about religion. Well, they say it's about love. It's about loving
God
each other.
No, it's not about religion. Religion can put people off. Jesus is a person. He's not a religion. He's an actual living being.
Then let me do this. Let me share a couple more of these. Here's someone. Her name is Karen. She's published on the NDERF.org. Extensive survey, 150 questions, reviewed by a medical doctor. Karen says, she took me and placed me in the crystal-like bed and told me to rest because there were beings who wanted to honor and welcome me. I saw beings queued up to greet me. I spied Jesus among them and immediately felt as though something was wrong. I asked the being who brought me how it was that Jesus wants to honor me. I told her I was afraid that putting myself at the same level of Jesus would damn me to hell. She laughed and told me, there is no hell. We're all equal in spirit form. Mm-hmm. Let me read you one more.
Yeah, but you can read heaps of experience. So I've met people that involve the New Age that teach this. And I've met people who interpret that in through New Age lenses themselves, that it's all just one big happy family that you can get there without Christ. But Jesus said, I am the only way, and I am the light of the world. I'm not just man, I am the Son of God.
But Jesus didn't say that to Karen when she had a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm. And he has done to 20-odd thousand people that I've met.
Well, so how are we supposed to sort this out?
If you went through a maze of opinions and a maze of experiences, you will get whichever one you'd like to choose out of that. Or you can actually look at the bulk of them, and the bulk of them would present Christ glorified.
The bulk of them do not show Jesus as the central figure of their near-death experience.
Well, it depends which ones you're searching, because I mean, the most of them are in church, and huge numbers of them are frightened to talk about in case they get lodged into the New Age camp that always lead to God.
So you're maintaining that most near-death experiences are Christian?
I'm pointing them to Christ, yes.
The published evidence.
Perhaps your research and that you're putting in publishing in books or necessary even getting online. But I've met thousands of people who just aren't going to share publicly because many of them are frightened because of the New Age camp that they'll be relegated into it when they've met Christ himself and had an incredible encounter with his love.
Ian, I appreciate that that's your opinion, but if we were going to sort...
I know, it's just my opinion. It's your opinion too.
Well, and that's my point, I guess. If we were going to sort through opinions, that's where it's kind of nice to have science. It's kind of nice to have people who do peer review, who try and apply the best methods possible to sort out this data and sort out, you know, what people are underreporting and what people are overreporting and do all that. And I'm telling you that in my experience, Jeff Long, physician and a guy who's trained in this kind of research has mm-hmm. done the best kind of research of that type. And his reading of the data disagrees with yours. So I guess I put that out there.
That's fine. But the truth will be found when you actually die with it, who was right. And that's the scary thought, isn't it? If you are wrong, it can actually have an eternal impact.
Well, I think that's kind of the fear-mongering, the Christian fear-mongering that turns people off
It's not fear, it's reality. It's not fear, it's reality. Perfect love casts out fear, so no fear of death.
But what you are instilling is this idea that you're...
not instilling, I actually went to a place called hell.
Yes.
It's not an intellectual thought, it's actually a reality. So my experience, which I hope you're looking to listen to, was that I went to a place called hell.
Well, I think I just talked to...
And if there isn't one, well, that's fine. But if there is, there's some pretty serious consequences if I'm right.
Right. Right.
Isn't there?
Well, isn't there?
If there isn't, well, there's a 50-50 chance I'm wrong.
Well, I think this is a tactic that Christian evangelists have used since the beginning of time to coerce
people. They haven't used it. They've just spoken what God's spoken, not what we've spoken.
Well, doesn't Christianity...
There's a heaven and a hell. God spoke it, not us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just published an interview with Pastor Howard Storm, who has an experience similar to yours, right? He's an atheist who has this incredible near-death experience and is transformed into a Christian. Are you familiar with his experience?
Howard Storm, yeah.
I think Pastor Storm, who I just talked to and just published his interview today, I think has a different take on this than you do. He says that all near-death experiences are idiosyncratic and that they're all different and that all religions have an element of truth to them and that he loves all religions. He just loves Christianity best. He doesn't see the strict biblical interpretation of it that you do. So there's a guy who's very much in line with you on a lot of respects who would, I think, take a completely different take on exactly the points that you're making. How do we resolve those?
No, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not whether I'm right or wrong. It's whether Jesus is right or wrong. And he said there is no other way unto the Father. It's not whether I'm right or wrong. It's whether Christ is right or wrong. There's a narrow tunnel that leads to my kingdom. Do you find it?
But it's your account.
And that's what I would travel down, a tunnel of light. He said, light shines in darkness. You've been delivered from a kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He said, I've created a new heaven and new earth. I've seen it. So it's not what I see it. It's actually what Christ said.
Well, anyone can take any experience they've had and then substitute biblical scripture in it and say...
No, they can't.
Why can't they?
Well, you can... If you don't know the scriptures, how can you use them if you've never read it? I've never read them.
Well... What possible So what you're saying is that the extraordinary telepathic link you had to the scriptures therefore validates the scriptures?
No, I'm just telling you my experience. I met Christ, and he told me to read a Bible. He said I was born again Christian, never heard of the term before.
Ian, I'm totally cool with your experience. I'm just saying...
Well, so am I. It changed my life forever, and I can't wait to go back and see him face to face.
Well, that's great.
I'm just hoping the people themselves would meet that incredible love of our souls, the lover who died for our sins and has risen from the dead and glorified. So my heart, in sharing with anyone, is that they would find that extraordinary love that would forgive them of all their sins, and that he could come into their heart by faith.
And that love only comes through Jesus Christ.
Well, it says that he is the only way. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he sent his Spirit to draw us unto the Father through Christ.
So all those wonderful people that you encountered in all these other nations, all these other traditions that come through and are beautiful people, who we look at and say are beautiful, wonderful, spiritual people, they are somehow lesser because they don't share your religious belief in this book.
It doesn't say lesser. God wishes everyone to be saved. So it's humility. It's not out of pride or arrogance that we share. But, I was just with Moranian Christians last night. Most of their leaders have been martyred in the 1990s by the government that took over from the Shah of Iran. They locked the Bible Society and slaughtered most of these guys. And their children were there sharing last night as they got the Farsi Bible printed into modern Farsi, into Iranian. And it was just so moving listening to them. It's not out of pride. It's just out of the place of there is a real evil in the world and there's a real light. And Christ said, I have that light and love. My Spirit will just set you free.
Okay. Well, man, I mean, you got to do what you think is right.
Well, these guys were basically all brought up Muslims, staunch Shia Muslims, and got converted. They were literally risking their lives by sharing it last night in London.
Right. I hear you. And it makes no difference to you that people have near-death experiences and have Muslim experiences, have Muslim Islamic experiences, have experiences with Allah, or have experiences with Buddha. None of that matters to you, right?
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying they must experience the Lord, how they've lensed it and how they looked at it is the same as what you're doing right now. You're trying as best you can to lens what you've heard and listened to.
I'm trying to what?
Well, you're trying to lens and interpret the experiences of people that you've heard talk to you. So I don't blame you. You're listening. You're searching. You're looking.
Well, Ian, and I think you're searching too. I think you've grabbed on to something because it works for you, and there's obviously a lot of reasons why you've done that and why it propels you forward. I think that we really all need to take a step back and try and use the best tools that we have to figure out what these experiences are. Otherwise, people get pulled into by their one experience, and that one experience dominates their life, and they're not able to look above and beyond
but
in terms of what that means.
But it's 32 years of it, and the Lord's taken me back into heaven hundreds of times. I've seen about 70-80% of the book of Revelations by personal experience. So it's not a one-off experience. It's a daily experience. It's a living experience.
Right, and there's hundreds...
It's an ongoing experience. It's not just a one-off experience. If it was, it mostly wouldn't have converted me.
But it's your experience, Ian. I mean,
asked me to share, my experience of eternal life.
I got
the
you, buddy.
The presence of God's love.
I got you,
the
buddy.
To meeting Christ glorified. So that's my experience. People will share their own experiences, and they need to. They need to share it.
Right.
And whether they're right or wrong, Jesus said, well, the truth will set you free. He said, all my word is truth.
Right.
And my blood will wash you as white as snow.
Right on.
And I've experienced that.
So, hey, I get you.
I've experienced that on a daily basis for 32 years.
What's that?
And I just experienced his light and love, seeing miracles and healings, the same thing that Christ talked about. I mean, my life's radically changed.
I'm not going to deny any of that, Ian. I just think a broader look at it is kind of useful. There's a lot of people whose lives have been dramatically changed, who are beautiful spiritual people who come through and see it as not a Christian experience or not singularly a Christian experience.
But I'm not saying it's wrong. That's fine. That's their way. They're going to have to walk it through. They'll find out again whether that experience that they've interpreted is right or wrong.
As will you, my friend. I mean,
of course.
The confidence.
I'm not unaware of that, mate.
Well, the humility isn't there, Ian. The confidence is there. Being so sure of yourself and your way is there, but not the humility of saying, you know, there's a lot of beautiful people out there and there's a lot of spiritual experiences that are far beyond.
Jesus was the most humble person in the universe. He humbled himself to the point of death. So if you're relating me to be like Christ, well, I'm trying to, but I'm not. So humility is humility to accept a lie, a deception, or a falsehood. Well, I don't see that as humility. I see that as not, that's wrong. Humility is actually a character of who Christ was. He laid himself down. He loved so much, he laid his life down.
Yeah, just a lot of what you say sounds like the same old fundamentalist bullshit that we've had to endure for hundreds of years with Christianity. And I don't know. I think you got to get past that, because I think it really drags.
Look, either Christ is alive and risen or isn't. Either Jesus isn't the Son of God.
Either you're with us or against us. That's what your version of Christianity sounds like.
No, mate. I mean, heaps of people. It's amazing how, whenever you preach Jesus, the antagonism of the spirit that can come on people's hearts. Either they've been hurt or wounded, and I understand that by church.
No, mate, all these near-death experience accounts of people who also encountered Jesus and have a totally different interpretation of it, and you dismiss them out of hand.
I just said read the Bible. I'm not dismissing anyone out of hand.
You did dismiss them. Just because you said read the Bible doesn't mean you didn't dismiss their experience.
How can I dismiss them? I'm just saying the fact was the scripture is true.
These people had a valid spiritual experience and encounter when they were dead too, Ian. Yours doesn't trump theirs.
I'm not saying they didn't, mate.
Well, you're saying that just read the Bible, and they're saying, no, you don't have to read the Bible. So one of you is right and one of you is wrong. And you keep saying, well, you're going to bet against hell, so you know you're going to burn those flames. That's not very convincing to me.
This ain't going to burn any flames. I went into darkness. Where'd you get flames from?
Ian, these people, I just read you somebody had a near-death experience and said there's no hell. And you say there is a hell, right? So one of you is right and one of you is wrong. Both of you had a near-death experience. Both of you had an out-of-body experience. Both had an encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. One of you is right. One of you is wrong. Or what I think, Ian, is both of you are right, because both of you are interpreting that experience, incorporating it into the rest of your life, doing the best you can. I'm not saying you're not doing the best you can, but then trying to move forward with your life and figure it out. But you're so damn certain that it's your way, and that anyone else who's had this encounter with Jesus, they have to be discounted if they don't come to the same conclusions you do. I find that offensive.
Well, I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
It is what you said, Ian. It is what you said. Go back and listen to the interview. I'll publish the interview.
Whether I'm right or wrong is not the issue. It's whether God's words are right or wrong, whether God himself is wrong, whether the scriptures are wrong. It's not whether I'm right or wrong.
It's interpreted through an individual.
But that's what I just said. It's my experience by God leading me through to read the Bible.
Well, we don't. That's your version of this.
That's my experience. So I'm just sharing my experience. You rang me to get me to share my experience.
I hear you.
I didn't ring you.
That's fair enough.
And I didn't pursue you. You pursued me.
I will.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, fine. Therefore, if you're pursuing me, then either you're trying to convince me that I'm wrong, or you want to hear my experience.
That's fine, Ian.
It's the truth, mate. No, you can back off, but that's the truth. You pursued me to get my experience.
Right.
But then when I share my experience, you don't like it.
Ian, you agreed to be on a public...
That's right, but you pursued me for it. So
well, you're going to interrupt me again?
Share.
I mean, I can shout over you, too. But you agreed to be on a public forum to discuss these issues, and that's exactly what I'm doing. So in terms of pursuing you, I didn't come stalk you and knock on your house. I shared with you the questions that I was going to ask.
I've answered them.
Well, you can decide whether you've answered them. I can decide whether you've answered them. And our audience can decide whether you've answered them, Ian. It's not just so cut and dried the way you... It's just Ian's way or it's the highway. That's what
it's
comes through again.
It's not my way. Just again, you keep saying that. I've experienced the Lord. He led me to read a Bible. I met him when I died.
All right. I mean, I think all that's good. Ian, I encourage people to check you out. Check out your website, aglimpseofeternity.org and your book at the same name. These are hard conversations to have, but I think it's really, I commend you for, you know, agreeing to come on and have and answer these kind of tough questions.
Well, thanks for asking me, Alex. I just hope it's of some use to people listening.
I do too, whatever they come away with. So with that, enjoy the rest of your evening, and thanks again.
Well, God bless you, Mike.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I rarely cut off interviews. If you've listened to this show, there's over 250 episodes. I've cut off maybe one that I can remember, but I'm going to cut this one off here because there isn't much to debate about with someone who claims to be speaking the words of Jesus, the ultimate authority on everything. But I have to say, at another level, this show gets to one of the points that I think is central to what we've been investigating on Skeptico. And I brought it up on the last episode in my interview with Howard Storm, but I'll bring it up again here with a slightly different twist. What are we to make of the reality, of the strangeness, of the near-death experience? See, I don't question whether Ian did have an encounter with Jesus, with Christ consciousness. I just don't know what the heck that means. And at the same time, I'm really pretty darn sure that his strict biblical interpretation of that account is in some way wrong, if we can say it. And the reason I say that is because I've spent a lot of time on Christian apologetics, and I think if you go back and try and trudge through that history like we have a little bit on this show, at the very least, you come to the point that the quote-unquote Bible is far from infallible, is filled with so many contradictions, mistranslations, reinterpretations, that it would be impossible for anyone to say that that is the word of this historical being called Jesus. So here's the question. What does it mean that near-death experiences are so strange? I think many of us, myself included at times, have tried to hold near-death experience up as some kind of pure, unfiltered account of what lies beyond, of some higher dimension. But I think it's clear from accounts like this that that's a very, very dangerous position to take. And I certainly won't take it any longer. So one question to tee up, and that's it. What do you make of the strangeness of near-death experience accounts? Of course, the place to share your thoughts on that is through the Skeptico website, which you can find at skeptiko.com. There you can jump on over the forum, leave a comment right there on the website, or find an email or a Facebook link to me. Well, that's going to do it for this short little abbreviated show, but I really wanted to slip it in here because it fit in with the Howard Storm interview, and because it really was one of those moments that I felt like Skeptico had kind of shifted me a little bit. So in that respect, I really have to thank my guest, Ian McCormick, for doing that, and I do hope, if you're at all interested, you will check out his website and his account. He tells a great story, I got to tell that, and I'm not saying it's a story. I think it's a real account, as near as I can tell. His website is aglimpseofeternity.org, so check that out as well. Okay, that's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for joining me. Take care, and bye for now.